Blog Talk Radio.
It's your boy Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, man, cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghostwriting, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm Poseidon. When I'm writing to the score of my life, through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming, like them bullets in the hundreds. In Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the Hummer. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this trilogy. Plates bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we come you through your stereos.
This is Journey Brave and you are now tuned in to the G-Hour Show.
Network Indie of Saturday, and I have my wonderful, beautiful cuzzo, Nikki Notations, holding it down in the building. Yes, 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 we are here, and we aren't leaving. I didn't know what else to say.
At least for the next 2 hours.
Right, at least for the next 2 hours, we will be here, okay, at this point. How are you doing, cuzzo?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. My daddy called me, asked me about my holiday, and, you know, it's a running joke with us. But other than speaking to him and, you know, listening to all the fireworks going on and on and on and feeling the energy from yesterday, everything is cool. How was your day? How was your fun?
My 4th of July, it was cool. I went over to the VP Fair in St. Louis. It was in Forest Park. It was a beautiful day. People were out eating barbecue, sitting on the grass, all that type of stuff. Then we went down.
Did you barbecue?
Down to East Lake. No, we didn't barbecue. We ate some White Castle.
Oh, cheaters.
They were open, so yeah, so we went there just because I got a late start in the day, so you know how that go. When your day don't start off right, it's like, forget it. I'm just going to go get something to eat real quick. But, you know, we went down to East St. Louis, like one of the only places you can pop illegal fireworks. Okay. I'm talking about it sound like a war zone. It was like, oh, my God, like, what's going on? Let me hear him get out here for somebody start popping that thumper, like, it's time to go. But I had a good, for real, like, let me go. I don't know, like, I don't get as worked up about the holidays. Like, when I was a kid, I used to get so excited about the holidays. But as an adult, it's just kind of like it's another day sometime, you know. But, you know. Whatever. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Yesterday I was kind of happy to get out and about, and yeah. And that's the end of that.
Moving on, people.
Okay, so what we're going to do here, people, if you're tuning in, we're going to play a song or two, And then when we come back, well, I'm going to turn it over to my cousin, and we're going to get into some juicy topics. So sit back, relax, grab yourself a snack, and we'll be right back. Indie Up Saturday, The Hour Network. Here we go.
I kept a day in the city with a cute friend. Bills had the blue deuce quarterback then. Corporate ain't understand how we got it in. We was so bright, so beautiful. So young, so dumb, we was eating bull. Walked off the gig with a stack daily. We ain't give a fuck, not a solidarity. Driving like we had 9 lives. Looking back so many times we should have died. Used to use Demetria ID for the strip club. Back when I had the blonde, I was doobied up. Was the shit then came second. Kira kept my cook full, bitches kept stressing. You don't know what I did to be here. Oh, you been through too, nobody cares. We know the edge is going back, we ain't off that. Fuck a little piece, I want all that. I want all that. I want all that. We know the edge is going back, we ain't off that. Fuck a little piece, we want all that. We want all that. We want all that. I used to leave with sick hope in my future like when Raheem died. Eddie Kane, Junior Flow, just a nigga high. Walking past my mom's house, mama on the stoop. Asking to speak to me, that shit wasn't cute. Natural born heartbreaker like my daddy. Make bloomer, slick mover like my mammy. Sammy, I guess you would if you could, huh? My nine-ass trainer did a nigga good, huh? With little niggas getting pulled over Glen Ridge. I was in slick eating weed tea shit. Used to say, bitch, make a move, there's a problem. Bitches fighting in their thongs, yup, God got them. Some took it too far, well, we couldn't stop them. Used to be hand-to-hand, now niggas drop them. We are not the same, geographically. Degrees five below extreme, catastrophe. We know the edge is going back. We ain't off that. Fuck a little piece. I want all that. I want all that. I want all that. We know the ends are going back. We ain't off that. Fuck a little piece. We want all that. We want all that. We want all
now
that.
Now every time I write a rhyme, my right hand start itching. With Drifty on the bill, other cats start bitching.
Oh,
I step on the scene, then they glow, go missing. Marathon mainstream, oops, the dough missing. Fine, fly, flashy, more nasty than I ever been. I'm giving out napalm, bitch, tell a friend. I don't respect them dudes, we was never friends. I cut a cousin off quick like we was never kids. Fuck out of head hitting, baby, what you bringing in? I'm grown now, fuck, I love you in the pillow store. I lay the golden ant, kill a pig, cook the pork. You might as well just walk it out. Shit, I've been a bad motherfucker. What you talking about? Alpha bitch approach changed me, you will without. The bell, the beautiful, the movement. Bitch, watch your mouth. Yeah, watch your mouth and more. We know the edge is going back, we ain't off that. Fuck a little piece, I want all that. Yeah, I want all that. I want all that. We know the edge is going back, we ain't off that. Fuck a little piece, we want all that. We want all that. Yep, we want all that.
More red face. Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking cigs. I see the world just like it is, as is. The pressure, the pain, the gift, the curse, the bullets, the fame, the glory, the hearse. And I don't back down, I'ma stand in first. The promises we make, they can change, gon' work. We here on this earth seeking knowledge of the ancient Qurans and Septuagint Bibles like a mason. Carry it as if they mean something, be frontin'. They need something, so they always key hunting. And knocking in your quest for the knowledge that you're seeking. Not lyrically speaking, it is we that you needin'. Yep, the missing link that was scattered from my holy ways. Took the schools, working tools, and sold the kids away. But now they reap the days that they sow. I know, guarantee the day I'm free, I'ma open all doors, amen.
If I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is.
Yup,
as is.
Yup,
as is.
Troubles are having me tuning into my brainwaves, picking maneuvers, entrepreneur. I gotta maintain, constantly smoke that A grade, properly on my A game. Prophecies of me prospering, follow me since the 8th grade. Monopoly of my payway, obvious, better make way. Anonymous, like an ominous Brock the nigga, I may say. You catching on, I'm looking at a bigger picture, checking peripherals, while y'all niggas looking at a feeble form. Balls live, backwards with devil horns, charge hard like a line, backer with metal on. This mortal's combat, might jack shit like metal cords, or pluck written like high traction on metal cords. Record shit you can lie back to and settle on, or record shit you can vibe crack to a heavy storm. Now picture seas without weed in the drought token. I'm not joking, word to deeds, can't believe when I say.
Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. As is. As is.
If I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. If I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. I ain't joking, I'ma stop smoking. The hour, end of Saturday. It's your girl, Ray Cole, holding it down with me, my cuzzo, Nikki Notations. That first song that you heard was Adrift, the Bell, and I guess it's called More. The second guy was Seas, and it's called A Soldier's Prayer. And that first song came on, I was like, what's going on? I'm like, hold on, this better be like some rap or something coming, because I'm like, this ain't the golden oldies station, like, what to do? But like, did you hear how it came on? Hold on, listen how it came on. This
okay,
is how it came
okay,
on.
Okay, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm just saying it sounds like somebody should have like an afro with like some church shoes on with a pick and a Colt 45.
Well,
is that what it is?
Era. Yeah.
It took me back to the 70s, like Crooklyn. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the man with them
tight
ass pants and the wallet sticking there. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Well, that's true. Because even when they were roller skating, they had the afros with the tight pants and stuff like that. So it all blends in together.
See, I was in the right era. Just you know, we got two different memories, you know, our visuals from it. But anywho, I'm gonna turn it over to my cousin. We're gonna get off into some of these hot topics about what's going on in the world of music.
I know. I wish they were some really, really good topics, but I just have to weigh in and see about your understanding of these so-called beefs that are occurring, and one is a spinoff of the BET Awards. Did you watch it? Any part
of it? I actually didn't watch it. No, I didn't. I don't even know what I was doing in the world that night, but I didn't watch it. I mean, I wanted to watch it, but, you know, I didn't watch it. Like, I plan on watching it. One day.
I don't know. I'm up in the air about the BET Awards. I really didn't know that it was coming on, because generally it's heavily promoted and advertisements are all over the place, but I don't know what's happening. I didn't see a whole lot about it, so I just happened to we flipping through the channels and came across it, or actually my roommate did. So anyhow.
Well, yeah, I wanted to watch it because I'm like, we do this show, so it's probably a good idea for me to watch it because I'm pretty sure we're going to discuss it, but I just didn't get around to it. Shame on me. Kick self and left my cheek.
Bad girl.
Right.
I'm not quite, I mean, I don't know if you really missed anything. Chris Rock, let's just say he hosted this show, and I don't know, some of his jokes, I'm trying to be hilarious, but some of his jokes are so borderline on offensive that you're holding your breath to see what the target of the joke is going to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yes.
I'm going to just wait to laugh to see if this dude jump up, because, you know, BET, they known for getting rowdy just on the spot. So anyways, let's get into one of the so-called shades of the night. And this is coming from Nicki Minaj. And as she was accepting her speech, which I thought the whole setup was kind of interesting, because Floyd Mayweather was presenting the nominees for the Best Female Hip Hop Artist category. And as you read the names and you're supposed to open up the envelope to declare who the winner is, he said, no. I don't even need to open it up. I have X-ray vision. I already know it's Nicki Minaj, which I think is total disrespect to everybody. I mean, you have X-ray vision. Dude, you're a boxer. I'm sure you've been hitting your head like 1,000 times, and that X-ray vision probably is a bit off by now.
Okay.
Right?
Not as far as either really off or really intact. Probably got it beat into him. Anyway.
But, I mean, and because it was an award in which the category included Nicki Minaj, Iggy Azalea, and the other people I'm not quite sure of because I haven't really seen them or heard of them on the pop charts. Not like Iggy is at the moment.
Right.
He's been dominating the chart, you know? And
yeah.
So, anyhow, his X-ray vision didn't work for this particular situation because Nicki Minaj, in fact, won for the Best Female Hip-Hop Artist. And as she was giving her acceptance speech, she mentioned, in quote, "When you hear Nicki Minaj spit, Nicki Minaj wrote it." And then she followed it by, "No, no, no, no shade." Okay.
What does that mean?
Yes, so then obviously social media heated up and everyone was saying that it was throwing shade to the nominee, fellow nominee, Iggy. So Nicki then took to Twitter to try to clear things up and saying that she is a proponent of women. She encourages women. She wants them to write down their own thoughts and perspectives, and she also mentioned that she's a fan of other artists such as Missy Elliott, who actually opened up with Pharrell, so that
was cool.
She's also a fan of Lauryn Hill, and she's saying that she's congratulated Iggy on her success of Fancy publicly. So, I don't know. I'll get into Iggy's responses just in a moment, but I just kind of want to marinate on what Nicki said. Again, she said, "When you hear Nicki Minaj speak, Nicki Minaj wrote it." Okay, I get it. You can own rap, but your body ain't yours, really, is it? Okay. If you want to start calling people out on being fake, I'm going to need you to recognize how you came in on this
I'm
team,
searching
right?
for the man in the mirror. Okay. What they say, before you try to get the plank out my eye, you need to get it out yours first. Okay. Mm-hmm. Return that booty to sender. Then you can talk about somebody being
booty. Yes. You know,
I'm just saying.
When you follow that statement, when you hear Nicki Minaj spit, Nicki Minaj wrote it, but then you follow it by saying, no, no, no shade, that's kind of like you're telling somebody, no, don't think about something. Well, when you say that, your mind automatically starts thinking about
right.
it. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm going to let you go ahead and give your opinion of that statement because I feel all kind of ways.
Well, I mean, you got to think about it like this. Nicki Minaj, you know, and I hate to bring up the issue of race. I've heard Iggy Azalea. I think she has a decent voice, but in all honesty, she doesn't have a voice that I've not heard before. I've heard it before. That's Dirty South rap. If she wasn't pretty and if she wasn't a white girl, I'm just going to be quite honest. You know, she probably wouldn't have made it that far because, but that makes her unique, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes her voice and the fact that she is pretty and that she's a white girl, that makes her unique and stand out from the rest of the rappers. And I think what it is Nicki Minaj, you know, for the long, she's been the female rapper, you know what I'm saying, for the longest time. So now that it's somebody new and it's competition and, yes, she is at the BET Awards. You know, she might be feeling a little intimidated. Not only that, but she's a younger girl. So, I mean, she can pretty much, you know, she got her, not saying that Nicki Minaj is old, but, you know, Iggy's a little bit younger. So she can kind of, you know, got a little bit more time to get even further. You know what I'm saying? Probably to catch up to where Nicki is. So she may feel some type of way or she may be intimidated. And, I mean, because what else would you say, make a comment like that, you know, or try to,
exactly.
you know, try to hit below the belt a little bit or throw some salt on her shine? That's kind of what it came off as. But, you know, it's enough. My thing is, it's enough room in music for everybody. Music, in my opinion, is the one thing that really shouldn't have, I mean, really nothing in life should, but music especially. Like, I think that the color line should dissolve when it comes to music, because if it's a good song, it's a good song. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a hit, it's a hit. If people follow this person, they follow that person. I mean, it's nothing you can really do. Like, you can't help who you like, you know?
When it comes to musical talent, you're always going to have a niche, and that's what gets you to the top
yes.
of the charts.
Yes.
And not all sounds are going to be unique. We want them to be unique, but at the same time, we appreciate that they're similar to other people because as humans, we need to categorize people. We have a need to relate them to someone else. That's why when people are putting out their bios and speaking about their journey as an artist, they always give respect to the people that they listen to, people that help
right.
them to become who they are. So,
well, my thing is this. It's apparent that Iggy was influenced by maybe the Southern rap style, you know, which is fine, you know, like
it's
she just
hot.
Has
I
the wild.
It.
Yeah, she has the wild factor. Like, you know what I'm saying? She is it right now. My thing is, Nicki Minaj, you had your moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had your moment to do whatever it is, and that's just how the spotlight works. It doesn't just stay on one person forever.
You know, I'm going to just blow up Nicki's spot real quick because, yes, she is unique in a sense, but I think she's an extension of Missy Elliott. I'm sorry, because Missy Elliott has that type of, I don't know, I want to say caricature type rap. You know what I'm saying? She goes in and out just the way she flows and things like that. You know how Nicki Minaj, her voice and her lyrics fluctuate like she could be in a cartoon and things like that. Missy Elliott has been killing that style forever, and I just think for women in particular, especially rappers, there's not a whole lot of them that have longevity, and I don't think a lot of people give them the same respect as far as being in the game in their older state as they do men who rap. So I think
right.
this could have been a perfect opportunity. I think it was a missed opportunity is basically what I'm saying for her
oh,
to
yeah.
say, look, We have a young one coming into the fold, and we're really about to do this. We have Missy Elliott. Now is our time to stay in the game. We don't have to replace one another. We can all come as a group
together.
Yes.
And that's
what
go ahead.
No. Say what you're going to say. So I was going to
I've seen an interview with Nicki Minaj, with Missy Elliott. It was on The Breakfast Club, and they were pretty much, you know, they were talking about how when they first came into the game, like when it was other people that had been in the game for a while, that, you know, that people didn't look at them like, oh, you old or you a has-been. They looked at them like, oh, you so-and-so. Like, you know, they looked at them like they were a legend, you know, or that they, you know, they kind of paved the way for somebody, so they kind of held them, you know, at a higher standard, and they were trying to say that nowadays people don't do that. They look at them like, oh, you washed up, are you this, that, and the third. And my thing is, I think that's crazy. Not only that, I think that, like you said, if Nicki Minaj would have could have went a different way with it, instead of throwing shade, you should have been back there trying to shake hands with her. You know what I'm saying? Because if you could get a track with her, that would sell millions. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would blow, but, you know, people are too busy putting their foot in their mouth. You know what I'm saying? And that just ain't, I mean, I just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still Nicki Minaj, you still got followers.
Yeah, exactly. I think for female rap in general, I think that statement was just way off base. I think she, again, a missed opportunity for the female rappers to come together and just, you know, unite and say, look, we're going to stay. We don't have to have one person at a time, you know, for a year or two, and then the next person. No, we're going to be like the men. And I'm not saying that they should be comparing herself, but why can't the men continue to rap and bring people together and have all kind of, you know, like joint ventures on their recordings and everybody rapping together? And come on, women, anyways, let me stop.
Not only that, it's enough of the pie for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, my thing is, like, I remember when I first started listening to music, and because I remember I used to watch BET, like, religiously when I was a little girl, because I was, like, I didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, I want to be in the music business. This has been a lifelong dream. But, you know, I used to watch it all the time. And, you know, back then, if En Vogue came on, I didn't stop liking Monica any less because I liked the En Vogue song. You know, I didn't stop liking, you know, Tupac any less because I like, you know, DMX or somebody, you know, like, I mean, granted, they really didn't come out around the same time, but you get what I'm saying? Like, I didn't stop liking one artist because somebody new came out, but it seems like what they want it to be like nowadays is a competition. Like, I'm the baddest, I'm the best. Like, my thing is this, you're going to be the baddest and the best for about 15 minutes, and then they're going to replace you with somebody else. So my thing is, don't burn bridges. Don't be out there trying to make people feel some type of way because you're feeling some type of way. Just get your money and work together with people and you can get even more money. So that's how I see it.
Amen, sister.
You know, I'm just saying, get that money.
That's right. Exactly. Stay in the game.
That's all I know.
Yes.
Get that money, okay?
Yes. For real. Iggy, she comes out. You know, obviously there was a lot of feedback, blowback, and questions about the comment. And so Iggy comes out, and she just had a cover on Cosmopolitan Australia, and I said, go on, girl. I mean, she can't put stuff, so, you know, she's doing her thing. So she comes out to respond to what all the rumors, there's Minaj. So what she said is she said that it was pettiness, basically. And she said that she's unbothered by anything that happened, quote, around happened at the BET Awards. And she just feels worn out by everyone trying to make her have wars with people all the time. And I love the way she finished it. She said, anyone who wishes me well is welcome to my life. is those who don't can't get any more of my time. I hate to see everyone exhaust themselves on my behalf over things that I'm still not 100% sure even exist. It don't matter. Just let it go. Oh, my God. She was like, either you with me or you not. And if you're not, then I'm still on the cover of Cosmopolitan.
Right. If you rocking okay. with me, you're rocking. If not, you get ran over.
I'm still top of the charts.
Right. So you ain't messing up nothing. But that's a good response, though, because, you know, and that's just the truth about life in general. People either going to rock with you. If they rock with you, cool. If they don't, you know, whatever. Don't stop trying to get people that don't rock with you to rock with you. You know what I'm saying? And not only that, you know, another thing, that's, in my opinion, that's how you know that you're making it or you've made it. When people start hating on you, they don't, my thing is, if I don't know you, I have no reason to hate on you unless I'm jealous. You see what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, you know, Nikki don't know Iggy. So the only reason you was, you know, be talking out the side of your neck is because either it was a few things. Maybe you tired of people comparing y'all to this, that, and the third. But, I mean, the only way you would say, in my opinion, okay, the only reason you would say something negative is because you feel in some type of way, a little jealous. You know, it's okay. We all get jealous. But learn how to identify when you're jealous. I get jealous. I'll be like, ooh, I'm jealous. You know what I'm saying? And I start laughing about it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I was listening to someone today, Queen of Fua, early this morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. Don't ask me why I was up. But anyway, she was just talking about your heart has to be light as a feather. It can't be heavy. So if you're feeling some type of way about something, like you said, identify it, work with the energy, and move it on to something positive. Like Icky said, I think she came out on top on this one because her statement was just everything, everything.
I'm going to say this. It's nothing more, in my opinion, nothing more. Now, granted, let me clarify. Everybody gets jealous every now and then, but everybody don't handle jealousy the same way. Like, I'm the type, like I said, if I just say you got a purse I really like, I tell you, ooh, I'm jealous. I want that purse. You get what I'm saying? And I laugh about it, and we'll keep on laughing and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Or if I feel like I'm jealous of something, that means that maybe I need to step my game up in some area. You know what I'm saying? If I'm feeling some type of way.
But the way that you're saying jealousy, let's just get it straight. Because my understanding of jealousy is that you feel that you are entitled to what somebody else has and you haven't worked for it. Versus you see what somebody else has, what it sounds like to me, and your description is you see it, you like it, and you like, okay, well, let me work toward it. Get that. You let me get myself. But see, I don't see that as jealousy.
I say jealousy because it's just like, you know, to me, jealousy is like when somebody doing something or got something that you might want to have and it's like, oh, I don't have that. You know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, I just kind of laugh about it. And like you said, work toward getting it. But it's like some people, jealousy come out in different traits for some people. Like some people, they jealousy come out and it's not a pretty sight. Like, well, my point was, there's nothing more unattractive than somebody that's like an evil, jealous person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, like, scary. It's like, your jealousy got you like that? You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Got you showing out like that in public?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Overall, the BET Awards, though, was interesting because you had a lot of collaboration going on. For example, you had August Alsing. So he performs, and remember we talked about it maybe a month or so ago. He had that beef with, oh gosh, what's his name?
We talked about him too.
Trey Songz. Yeah, wasn't it Trey Songz? I think so.
We both said we're just gonna go with Trey Songz.
And so yeah, he came out and Trey Songz, I'm sure it was Trey Songz and Chris Brown, they all did something together. Chris Brown was rocking it. He also did something with my recall. Let me just say this. All of them were coming out. Lil Wayne, Chris Brown, and somebody else did something together. But just the way that they were kind of dressed was, you know, they have the plaid, the chest is out, and I know how you feel about men with open shirts. They're in their chest.
Hold on, don't make me laugh. Hold on. Let me clarify.
No.
I ain't gonna get off the specifics, but this is my deal. Look, do not have your shirt unbuttoned down to your man cleavage. Like you got cleavage, like you trying to show with that taco meat. Like, no, sir, this is not 1985, okay? Don't know what, like, and just, no, okay? That's all I'm saying. Like, women show cleavage. Button your shirt up. Maybe one button. Put you on a wife beater up under that, okay? Like, our T-shirt. Like, that's what I'm used to with men. Not nobody got it buttoned down. Like, what the deuce? What is this?
First of all, not all men have taco meat. That's first and foremost.
Mm.
But just bringing it back to the BET Awards, I'm like, you know, I just wanted them to kind of step up their dress game on the stage.
Kind of get their grown man on.
Yeah, you know. Lil Wayne had on some shorts, and it was just like, you know, the pants is sagging all down to God knows where, and
what
I don't know.
Lil Wayne was?
Yeah, I mean, they all pretty much, you know, guys, you get pants. But I'm going to tell you right now, I do believe that Usher kind of rocked it, though. And, you know,
okay.
Him and Chris Brown, they always try to compare the two of them together, but
I think they're two different entities.
Well, that is true, but I guess, you know, for the sake of having something to say, they always want to compare because they both, you know, can dance and sing, and Usher did a compilation of all his hits, and he tried to get on the drugs, but he had a wardrobe malfunction. But, you know, he got through
that
whole thing. Yes.
What type of wardrobe malfunction?
It wasn't
like, I mean,
a nipple gate. He couldn't get a jacket off. He couldn't get a jacket off, and he was trying to take it off so he could get on the drugs and just, like, go. But
okay.
it really didn't come off, so I think he was a bit flustered because when he came off the drugs, he had forgot his microphone. He had ran over to go dance, and so he had to run back to get it. But at the same time, I appreciated it wasn't as polished as it could have been, but at the same time, you could see a professional in action because even though things were I don't know if it was too tight, but perhaps he couldn't get it off his sleeve, so maybe he forgot to do the
It was
buckle.
Too tight. That's why I don't just sound like he had to get cut up off that jacket.
Like the jaws of life when they get you out the car.
When people ring, their finger gets too fat and their ring gets stuck on you. I had to cut this man's ring off. I used to work at a jewelry store, and that sucker looked like his finger was beating like a heart around that ring.
Did you cut it off at the store?
Yeah, I had to cut it off of him because he couldn't get it off.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, how else was we going to get it off of him? That was the only way we could was to cut through the middle.
But it seemed like that could have, I don't know, it's one little.
I get what you're saying,
could've...
maybe cut his finger, but he was lucky. I was able, if I thought I was going to cut his finger, I wouldn't have did it. But, it was enough where I could, like, cut it, kind of, you know, like, play with it and just keep chipping away at it, and then it just came off.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I would just say Usher still have it. He is fine. He's energetic. He's very entertaining. And my mouth is open the whole time, like, yes, Usher, yes. I'm sorry. Well, I was thinking all kind of rowdy things watching him. I said, yes, this was makes it worth watching the BET Awards.
I'm going to keep my comments to myself.
Why?
You know what, cousin, I just don't want to speak no evil.
You know what? You're a dream killer. Oh
no, I'm not a dream killer. I am a realist. Okay, being real and calling stuff how you see it is a gift and it is a curse because you have to know when to speak and you have to know when to bite your tongue. And
you're gonna have to tell me offline.
I will tell you offline my opinions, I don't know, between Usher and Chris Brown, if I had to pick between one, I'd pick Chris Brown. I don't know. Chris Brown looks like he could take Usher in the fight.
Okay, that may be true, but between Chris Brown and Usher, he may take your ass in a fight. It won't be a fight. It's going to be
a fight. Hold on, cousin. Let me tell you what would have happened had I been Rihanna and Chris Brown would have beat me down like that.
Yes,
he would have got that A-double-S-S tapped, honey. Okay, I would have paid somebody to kick his butt. Like, okay, you wanna fight? You wanna beat people down? Okay, I got something for you. You just don't know. Pookie, I'm about to get that ass.
No, Pookie.
But I'm not trying to be funny. But if you looked at it, I'm pretty sure he probably won't be hitting nobody else unless he just don't care about going to jail because that whole situation landed him in a world of trouble. Like, he just keeps getting in legal situations. So, I mean, really, he lost by doing that to her. You know, so hopefully he learned his lesson and got his
temper
under control.
Wait a minute, he's still in court out in D.C., and that's what I was saying about Chris Rock, who was making those jokes, because he had some filler time, which he made sure he let the audience know, oh, we still not ready yet? Okay. Basically, let me see who I'm going to mess with. And then by the time he got finished talking crazy about people in the audience, it was time to announce the act, and he was announcing Chris Brown. He was like, yeah, this is somebody. Yeah, he just signed a deal. Too bad it was a plea deal, and boom, the curtain came up. I said, Chris Brown. Exactly.
You know, I'm beating people down, Chris Rock. You better watch your mouth.
Even though he did take a plea deal, he is actually going to take it to jury, I believe. But I'm
I was Chris Rock because I'm not last year or whenever. I don't know if it was last year or the year before when they had Chris Tucker. I was thoroughly disappointed with Chris Tucker.
Why?
He seemed like he had no interest in being there. His jokes weren't funny. He was looking at people in the audience, you know, calling out just random people that he saw in the audience. Like, it was kind of sad because, you know, people was expecting Chris Tucker from Friday. Even though, granted, you know, you get a little older, but you still expect the funny and, you know, and entertainment to be there. And then he said several times, like, he pretty much there just for the check. So it's like, why did you even come? Or why did you even accept the job? Like, you ain't can prepare no jokes. You know what I'm saying? You ain't steal nobody else's jokes. Like, I don't want to be too hard on the brother because people go through stuff in their life. But, you know, it was just kind of disappointing. I was just like,
Well, no, yeah. Chris Rock was, he was funny. He did this skit that was hilarious. He went to one of those monster truck shows.
Yeah, I read that.
If they knew what the BT stood for, and they were, he asked her what NWA stood for, right?
Oh, Lord.
And he asked the woman, she looked at everybody, because the way she hesitated, if you were thinking she was going to say, you know, the N-word, right? And she National White Association. Oh, I fell out. It was hilarious. So I thought Chris Rock, he was definitely on his game there. So
I can believe it because he normally is a funny guy. Like, I can watch him because his jokes are normally pretty funny. And, you know, when you are... So when you were like Chris Rock, like he has like an audience of like everybody, you know what I'm saying? It just ain't one, you know, one race of people. Like everybody laughs at his jokes, even though sometimes he can be kind of like borderline, like, all right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, you better watch yourself, but it's still funny.
Right. It's just another point or two really quick about the BET Awards. And they gave the Lifetime of Music Achievement Award to Lionel Richie.
Okay.
And the only challenge that I felt occurred is, one, the people that were singing his tribute songs, it's like, can we just get Lionel to sing it? You know what I'm saying? And then, two, while they were putting the Lifetime Achievement Award, up there congratulating him, they had his name spelled wrong. I'm like, seriously, people, you spent all these millions of dollars and you can't even get the honoree's name right? You know, the honoree of all people. Another thing that I did like, embarrassing, yes, ma'am. But another thing that I did like is that they showcased some new talent out there. And one of the girls, what was her name, Grace. She was 17 years old, and I'm sorry, I should have wrote down her name, so my apologies, audience, and to you, Rachel. But she was 17 years old, and she could play 5 instruments. She started off, she reminded me of Sheila, was it Sheila E.? Who can do, no, was it Sheila E.? Who was, now my mind, I'm going to recall these things. I can't even recall. Anyway, she started off with the guitar. Then she went to the keyboard. And she's singing and playing the keyboard. I said, gone, girl. You know?
Oh, yes. But 17
years old.
But that just shows you when you have kids, if you help their dreams, like if you help add to their dreams, like if they say they want to do this, and if it's something that you can, because you can tell when your kids are like gifted or talented with something most times, you know what I'm saying? Like I seen little JJ, he picked up that basketball. When I say he spent that thing around his finger so smooth, I was like, boy, that's your sport right there. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about Harlem Globetrotter. I was like, man, he did it so effortlessly. Like it just glided around your finger. You know, like you could tell what a kid is good at, you know what I'm saying? And then if they say, hey, mom or dad or whoever you are that's taking care of them, this is something I want to move forward with, I say invest in their dreams. Because, look, like you said, 17, she had the BET Awards playing 5 instruments and singing. You see what I'm saying? Like, where they do that at? You know, like.
I know. You know. Can you imagine?
What you say?
I said, can you imagine 17 and just tearing it up? I mean, just to be able to play the keyboard and sing at the same time to me is like talent, okay?
I agree. And it's, I just believe that the earlier you start, the better you will be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty sure she's been doing that for a while. You know what I'm saying? And now she's, you know, making a name for herself. So I definitely can appreciate that.
Right.
Definitely. Okay.
Just when you think about someone who has talent, right?
Yes.
And you recognize the talent, you say what that talent is. One person who was able to say what a talent somebody was missing got her a Twitter rant. And I'm speaking about Bobby Christina and her response to, what's her name? Oh my goodness, it's one of those nights.
that's okay. It's okay. I mean,
it's okay. I know, I'm gonna beat myself up.
I mean, who gonna check you, boo?
So, just moving on, well, we talked about this too. The biopic Lifetime is in the midst of making, with Angela Bassett as the director for the story of Whitney Houston. And Bobby Christina expressed her desire to play the role of her late mother. Yes, ma'am. And so,
okay.
Angela Bassett. You like, go ahead, reply.
If I can't say a word, I'm going to wave my hand. Speak no evil. Speak no evil, honey. I'm not going to say, I'm listening.
Yes, because after I finish, I think you don't speak it unless I get finished.
Speak no evil. Hear no evil and speak no evil.
Okay, it's going to be, the biopic is going to come to the Lifetime Network next year. And it's based on, again, the life of the 48-year-old recording star who subsequently died in 2012. And they're going to focus really on her relationship with Bobby and things that happened thereafter. And so the family had an issue with them taking it to Lifetime, but Bobby Christina, who is estranged from the family, is all in, like, I don't care, just let me play her, right? And so when Angela Bassett was asked about her playing it, she was basically saying that she doesn't think that she should be able to play it because this is a fast-paced movie and she is not an actress. And so basically what she said, in this is a quote, she said, this movie is an attempt to illuminate the complexities of human behavior and life, and this is a very fast-paced schedule. We have just 21 days to tell this story. It's more than just saying lines and turning the light on. You have to drive the story. There's a technical aspect to it.
Right.
And, yeah, so basically she was just saying that she is not
an
actress.
You ain't ready.
Yeah. And so
but that's a nice way of saying thank you, but no thank you. Thank you for your concern, and we will consider your application.
No, consider your application rejected. We ain't even considered it. I'ma tell you now, it ain't gonna happen, ma'am.
Right, you can be an extra. I know this your mama life story and all that, but nah. No, ma'am. No, thank you. Have a nice day. Not only that, okay, Bobby Christina. Now, I don't know if this was by mistake or what the deal was. But you didn't even grab the same pair of matching shoes. And you expect us to give you the script and expect you to remember the line.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Now, wait a minute. Not only did she not have on matching shoes, I'm not going to even talk about how she, like, she just looks emaciated, you know, like a skeleton. And not that only that, so she takes the Twitter and she starts saying how Angela Bassett looks like a man and
what?
She looks like a trans. Yes, girl. She
what?
And yes.
W-H-A-T, yes. Question mark, exclamation point. Like, how you going to diss your mama friend, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, that is totally ridiculous. Bobby Christina, first off, you shouldn't talk about how nobody looks until you get yourself together. Okay, because you be, from the pictures they be showing or that we see on TV and on the Internet, they are not good pictures, okay? You be looking out of that, okay? Angela Bassett has to be one of the most beautiful women walking the planet, especially for her to be, like, pushing 50. She looked good. Like, she, I'm pretty sure if you were standing next to Angela and somebody your age had to pick between you and Angela Bassett, I think they'd pick Angela Bassett, okay? So, like, watch who you trying to diss just because people don't do what you want them to do. You know what I'm saying? You can't do this.
Oh, but
woman.
Wait a minute. She told Angela, yeah, wait till you see me get my Oscar award. Wait till you see me get my acting award. I said, you know what? First of all, if anybody looked like a man, I'm sorry. You, she looked just like Bobby.
I didn't want to say it.
I look like my dad. I ain't gonna lie, but I look like a woman. Obvious, my dad can never get a call and be like, "Oh no, she's not mine." You know what I'm saying? It's just like
right.
You don't even need to take a DNA test. But she looks like the female. No, she looks like a male version of her daddy.
You go too far, cousin. You go too far, cousin.
I'm just like, who's calling the kettle black here? How you gonna tell Angela she look like a transvestite with men? You talk about
I
our Kelly daughter want to be a little boy. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, that's a whole different subject. But Bobby Christina, she tripping. Like, you know what I'm saying? My thing is this. One, I'm not trying to be funny. Now, granted, I will say this. If she did play in the movie, it'd probably get a whole lot more ratings. Not saying that it's not going to get any ratings, but you know, just because she's in it, because people want to see, you know, what is she doing. But on the same token, I honestly don't think it's a good look for her to be in the movie, because you know, it might be some stuff that she probably may not want to know, or you know, or see about her mother. You know, like it's, or you know, it might be something that she disagrees with. Like, it's a conflict of interest, really, to have her in the movie. So I can see why they wouldn't want her in there. Not only that, like you said, I mean, in so many words, you are not an actress. Like, we don't have time to be babysitting you and walking you through. Not only that, you don't even look like Whitney. I know you had a daughter, but you don't look
she
nothing
like
Whitney.
Bobby.
Yes,
I
mean, if
like her daddy.
Yes, and we would have never seen your picture. Would nobody know as you was Whitney Houston's daughter? Like, well, maybe they would. They might, wait a minute, that's Bobby Brown's daughter. Wasn't he married to Whitney? So
she did say that, you know, she did try to apologize. And basically what she said is, I'm a young woman who can admit her wrong.
Too late to apologize.
For who was offended, I apologize, but understand me, okay, so this is where the apology goes wrong, but understand me, before you're quick to judge, though, your choices and decisions are the only things you have to yourself in life, and you won't know how important those things are until they're taken. I don't know, whatever.
No, come on, calling a woman, saying a woman look like a man. Come on, slow motion. Just come correct. I was angry. Okay. I was angry because I couldn't play my mama, okay, and I snapped. That's what happened. I was wrong for saying what I said, and I apologize to you, Miss Bassett. But don't try to say no. That's what I'm saying. People be trying to do too much when apologizing. You know it's offensive to say that a woman looks like a man, even if she really do look like a man. It's offensive. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's certain things. Not only that, you know, and to try to downplay, like, Angela Bassett. Like, you know, people like Angela Bassett. Like, that's, she kind of like how Whitney Houston was. Like, when Whitney Houston passed away, I felt like that was, like, my auntie from somewhere in life. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how Angela is. You know what I'm saying? That's Tina Turner. You know, like, you better watch who you're talking about, for her. They really let you know what you're looking like out here in these streets.
Yeah. Actress knows another actress, just like a musician knows a bona fide musician, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure if she was an up-and-coming actress, she would have considered her. But you know what? The final point that I want to make, because I know that we need to go to break and play some music, this just goes to show you that when you don't have control over your brand, this is what happens. And what I mean by that is, if you compare this to the biopic that's coming out, or the movie, actually, that's most of the biopic movie that's coming out for NWA, where Ice Cube is like, look, my son ain't going to play my stuff. You know what I'm saying? And boom, who got the role as him? His son, okay? His son ain't played in any roles before, but his dad was like, okay, we got this as a family. Two, Danita has dropped out of the Lifetime biopic of Aaliyah, and one of the reasons cited is because of the family has made, because Lifetime never contacted them, similar to the Whitney Houston story, which we've already talked about. But I do respect Danita for dropping out, saying I don't want any part of that, because they couldn't even get the rights to the movie right to the songs, because Aaliyah's family controlled that, right? And so with this situation, bringing it back together, talking about control of the branding, artist, indie artist, just think about it. For Whitney Houston, even though her family is anti-Lifetime doing this biopic, it's still going ahead. Even though Whitney Houston's family is anti them doing anything, they're still going to play her music. And guess what? She didn't have the right to her own masters.
Yes. Well, that's the music business for you.
Well, there you go.
You hear
and
that, people?
Her daughter, yeah, go ahead. Let
no, you hear that, people? Had a right to your shiggity, okay? Unless you decide to sell them, I mean, get your stuff, get the rights to it, because that way you could be like a Leah family, like, oh, you think you're going forward with a movie? No, you're not. No,
you can if you want to, but it ain't going to be the real deal. You ain't
it ain't
going to
be no
music.
You ain't gonna have no sound. You ain't gonna have none of that. Play what you want to, but you won't be playing this, okay? Whereas Whitney, you know, she was, I'm assuming she was just more of a singer. Like, I'm assuming she didn't do much writing or whatever the case may be. So they can do her movie. Like, when it comes to, when you were talking, saying something about Dr. Dre's son, and Bobby Fitzgerald.
Oh, no, Ice Cube.
Not, I'm not
Ice
Dr.
Cube.
Dre. I'm sorry, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Ice Cube, all
no,
them. But,
okay, you disrespected. You, okay, move on with your point.
Anyways, Ice Cube, Ice Cube's son. I mean, you don't really hear about his son in the media. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't hear nothing really bad about his son or anything. Now, granted, Bobby Christina really didn't stand a chance because Whitney Houston was her mama, you know, and they kind of dug all into her business and her life. But the thing is, now that she's an adult, she's kind of making herself look bad. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of a difference. They're like, you know, yeah, his son can play it. It's kind of like, oh, okay, you know, kind of a fresh face, you know, Ice Cube's son playing him in a movie. Okay, let's see what this is about. Bobby Christina, no, you got like bad publicity following you.
You look bad. You got
you
bad,
look bad.
You got a bad attitude.
You're talking.
Bad.
You married your brother, or your guy, whoever he is, whatever type brother he was to you. You know, I mean, but on the same token, I'm pretty sure, in all seriousness, I'm pretty sure she's really hurt on the inside about a lot of things in her life.
Yeah.
So I mean, I get it, because you know when you're going through. You look, I got some pictures out there. Look, don't ever let them pictures resurface, because I am going to deny that those are me. That ain't me. I don't know who that is. You get what I'm saying? Like, when you go through situations, sometimes, you know, you just have to go through them. And hopefully, whenever she comes out of that situation, she put her head on straight and just be the young lady that her mother probably wanted her to be. So, you know, good luck to her.
Yeah,
you know, stop going off on people, because you ain't getting no friends by going off on people that's like known names in Hollywood. All you doing is messing yourself up in the long run.
Yeah, true that.
I got a question. What happened with Tyler Perry? He said if she wanted to act, he was gonna put on some stuff. What happened with that? I wonder.
I don't know about that. Well, all you can say, the proof is in the pudding. He hasn't put her in anything yet. That's one. Two, I mean, since you brought up Tyler Perry, why did he just get the copyright to What Would Jesus Do? Why would he? How did he get that patent?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
The WWJD?
Yes, ma'am. No,
wait a minute.
Wait.
That is low.
Down the ground. We're going to come back and talk about it since you brought it up.
Oh, well, yeah, we will. What would Jesus do?
What
would Jesus do? Look, I'm so tired of people doing stuff in the name of Jesus, but we're going to spin some records. We're going to play Courtesy, Feeling Like a Star, and Don McLean used to be. D.I. will end the up Saturday. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go again.
They know who we are. Every time we hit the club, you know we by the bar. We know for breaking necks when we pull up in them cars. You close to the earth and I'm close to the Mars. I'm feeling like a star. Black can't call me, Darth Vader. Niggas say I'm local, but I'm about to go major. I lift the beat, then I'm flexing on it. And if it ain't a red carpet, I ain't stepping on it. My hands warm, lady, you should put your breast upon it. And it's the new best, so we ain't having sex upon it. I'm like, it's time for my premiere. Where is my premiere? And I beat the girl's drums like she plugged me in her ear. You should hear me clear what she plays up on your ear. Labels put me in the dark, now I'm the monster that they fear. But I'm good, my money's up to par. And I'm closer to my dreams, but I'm still looking far. I'm somewhat in a pickle, cause I'm sitting in a jar. And every time I'm lost, I just look up in the stars. Like they know who we are. Every time we hit the club, you know we by the bar. We know we're breaking necks when we pull up in them cars. You close to the earth, and I'm close to the Mars. I'm feeling like a star.
Okay, they act acting like they don't know, like they ain't get the memo. See, I'm a tattoo artist and my needles all the ammo. Hoes get the dick and niggas get the shot it. And I don't give a fuck, I'ma eat my whole body. They telling me I should just stay in my department, but I'ma get in it like the keys to the apartment. Wow, baby, I'm a star, hella close to the planet. So I'm just trying to make history, Super Bowl Janet. So welcome to flight school, take off departure. Freestyle sound like it came off the Carter. Victory so close, I can taste it. Hoes infatuated, rappers get violated. Starstruck pupils dilated. Yeah, that's what they telling me. Now it's made boxing, but God is what they telling me. Every day's a hustle, getting closer to the fame. Reiterating the fact, making dollars in my name.
They know who we are. Every time we hit the club, you know we by the bar. We know we're breaking necks when we pull up in them cars. You close to the earth and I'm close to the Mars. I'm feeling like a star. I'm feeling like a star and the name that you should mention. Slow money is no money that you should mention. Especially when that slow money's looking like a pension. I ain't on no hater shit. I would burn Gucci cause I stick to my skater shit. Beanie and some skinny jeans, I always be my favorite. I pray for it, sunshine state. Yeah boy, cause I be on my gator shit. I call my dude out for heat and let some carry drive. Red hat, gave me face, call it carry top. And all my niggas on it crying like we at the spot. Know why you mad, cause my team everywhere.
Yeah, this money to be made, so I ain't gone sleeping. Clubs pay good for them shows on the weekend. Feeling like a star, Candy Kush, I be cheaping. Presidential suite in every house that we live in.
Like a star, cause they know who we are. Every time we hit the club, you know we by the bar. We're breaking necks when we pull up in them cars. You close to the earth and I'm close to the Mars. I'm feeling like a star. Star.
I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Yes, yes. Go get your prostate, your breast, or whatever else checked out because you do not want no cancer. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Stay on top of your health, people. This is Ray Cole, D.I. We're Indy Up Saturday, holding it down with me, my cousin Nikki Notations. We're about to get off into some more topics, of course.
I like that last song that was just played. Who is that?
Thank you, cuz. Thank you for that reminder. It is Dot Richie Weekend.
Okay, we need to get him on the show, Dot Richie.
Yes, Richie? I mean, by all means, I definitely want to open the door back up to indie artists to come on, but I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. I extend the olive branch. If you don't reach back, I'm not going to keep extending it. I'm just going to keep my olive branch over here, and the movement is going to move forward without you. You know what I'm saying? But once we gain that steam, honey. Once this rocket starts to take off, honey, all I'm saying is if you didn't want to get in at the ground level, you're going to have to get your own rocket to catch up with me, okay? But that's enough. If you didn't want to ride the pony when the pony was free, I would need them dollars, okay, when I become that prize pony. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know, yeah.
Hey, speaking about the pony, did you see that statement Ginuwine made about his daughter?
Yes, I did. Okay. But it's just funny how you transitioned. I like that. That was smooth, cousin. That was real smooth.
Let me set it up real quick for the people who have not seen it. So Ginuwine's daughter, I think she's in her early 20s, was photographed with a lot of $1 and $5 stacked like she was counting them around her. So he made a caption line basically, I'm rephrasing, I need to pay attention because basically is she stripping now? I was like, what father says that? That's
about
horrible.
His daughter. I mean, it is. Maybe he was joking, but if you do joke like that with your daughter, maybe that's something you need to keep in your house, you know what I'm saying? Because putting on social media can be, you know, it could be like a eyebrow razor, like, what you say, sir? Like, what the deuce? You know, so,
yeah,
I mean.
The salon, the mom was not happy about it. Come on, no, hold on, Ray. First of all, me and my dad are very, very, very close and cool, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We can say whatever we like to one another. Yes, my dad is funny, but please, if my daddy ever made a stripper joke, because even Chris Rock, come on, Chris Rock, who just hosted the BET, and one of his stand-ups, is it Bigger Than Black, Bigger and Blacker, which one? Anyways, he was saying, you know, daddies don't get blamed for a lot of things. But one thing that people would say that you failed at as a father is if your little girl is flying down a stripper pole. So why would you even put that out at? He's like, whatever, you thought he could do anything else, but if she is in a strip joint, it's going down. Now, don't get me wrong, people.
Well, I ain't going to say the strip joint, because some women are just very sexual. Just like some men are sexual. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? I'm just saying I can see why somebody would. I mean, it depends on your mind frame. Now, if you up if you in the right strip club, I'll say that. If you in the right place, you probably can make a lot of money. Now, if you in the gutter bucket, I'm not saying go become a stripper. Now, let me put that out there. Unless that's what you want to do with your life. But you know what I'm saying? Now, if that's what you want to do, who am I to tell somebody not to shake that behind for a tip or two? But on the same token, like, some women may want to do that. Like, NeNe on Real Housewives, I don't know if she's being honest with what she said, but she said she loved doing it. She said it was easy and fast money. So to each his own. Now, granted, if your daughter always said she wanted to be a nurse or a doctor or a model or something like that, and she ends up in a strip club, yes, you failed somewhere as a parent. You know what I'm saying? Like, somewhere, something ain't right, and she is, you know, doing that, and clearly her goals were something else. So, I mean, I agree with you, but on the same token, let's not X out the freaks, okay?
Wait,
don't mind.
First of all, let me just be very, very clear. I am a patroness to Jalisa, my own self, so I, like, count it out at all. Not just for my business.
I think every woman want to be a stripper for 1 year out of life. Just for 1 year. Just 1 year, just to go on there, just to see how it feels, just to have that type of control. Like, I mean, just a few months. Like, everybody got that inner stripper somewhere in them, okay?
I want to do the burlesque. That burlesque.
Yeah, burlesque.
Remember, did you see the Christina Aguilera and Cher burlesque movie? Oh, I love that. That's like
I did it, but I did
movies.
See a real burlesque event, and it was pretty hot. It was entertaining. It was like, okay, like, I mean, like, it was cool. Like, who would have thought that? I mean, like, they walking around. I've been to two. We went to this burlesque bingo thing, and the girl walking around and, you know, entertaining the people, like she's hosting a party with barely anything on, and everybody's cool with it. And then the other
Home
one, I went
girl.
To there.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, it's entertaining. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all a form of entertainment. That's the how I look at it. You know, some people don't bother them to walk around naked. You know.
Hey, Ray Cole.
Yes, ma'am.
To look at that movie Burlesque. Because
Christina
Aguilera, oh, my God, they sing their ass off, and they dance, and it's sensual, and the storyline is all of that. I watched it like 20 times, and I plan on watching it 100-plus more times.
Cher dance?
No, she didn't dance. She sung in it, which
okay.
I love the song. And
okay.
But Christina Aguilera was definitely getting her dance on, and one of the women who judged So You Think You Could Dance, no, not So You Could Think, what's the one that Nene and all the Stars go on?
Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, So one of those judges, the female, she's on that in that movie too, and then the other guy that I really, really love, oh, who is he? My recalled name is telling me this season, but it's a wonderful, wonderful movie, and Christina Aguilera sings her ass off in that show.
Okay.
It talks about people who moved out to Hollywood basically to be a star, but then they get into this particular lifestyle, and it just takes off from there. You know, you have someone who was an aspiring songwriter, someone who's an aspiring singer, someone who's an aspiring club owner, and I just love the story. So I think all indie artists kind of should take heed to
should
that.
Should watch it.
Because it talks about the cutthroat ability of people when they see something as a success, or they see somebody that's an up-and-coming star, how they try to cut them off and take them away from somebody who just really wants to rear them in the right way. And speaking about rearing in the right way, we're going to just go ahead and transition into back to the topics. And you were talking about Tyler Perry real quick and Bobby Christina, that is, and her acting with him. So
or lack
thereof. Yeah. But he said that, so she was supposed to be part of his, she made an acting debut in his TBS series For Better or For Worse, and he said she did a fantastic job and she exceeded his expectations. And basically, he said that if she wants to go in the business, she can. But obviously, Angela Bassett was like, whatever. I'm going to tell you now, it ain't going to happen on my watch. So, whatever. And that didn't happen. And just really quick, in regards to, we were talking about Tyler Perry winning he won the trademark battle for What Would Jesus Do? And it was actually a woman, Kim Popera Kearney. And she appeared on VH1 series, I Want to Work for Diddy. I don't know. I never watched this series.
No, me either. And I didn't watch. I watched one P. Diddy show, and that was Making the Man, and none of them made it nowhere. That was back when he had, like, that whole group of just random men and women.
Yeah.
Whatever, and yeah, I gave up.
Danny D. Kane did okay. I like one of their songs.
Yeah, I didn't watch that season.
Okay. You like gave up the fight by then?
yeah. Once they kind of all started falling apart, I just was kind of like, you know what? I see what you're doing, P. Diddy. Good try, but
No.
That's all I'm gonna say. Speak no evil.
You know what? When you think about anybody who's come up through P. Diddy's label, I mean, really, all of
speak
them
no
are
evil,
there to
cousin.
Really. Okay.
Speak no evil.
Okay, get back to this table. Let me just say, you ain't got to tell me twice. Girl, bye. Okay.
Look, well, I mean, it's a lot we can say about the reason why I try to hold off on my opinion is because I'm trying to be in the same business with these people. So I don't want, you know, later on they find me talking crazy about them on the DL.
Oh,
no. No, but on the same token, you know, hey, it is what it is. If you a public figure, people have opinions. So, I mean, that's why I just have to laugh it off, too. But go ahead.
Okay. I hope I don't be going hard on nobody. I'm sorry.
No,
I
you don't go hard. You just telling.
Okay.
You telling your opinion. You saw an article. You read it. And this is how you feel about it. I mean,
okay.
It is what it is. Yeah, so, I mean, I just try
you know,
to.
You know,
because
I'm Team Ray Cole. We need to make sure Ray Cole is on. You ain't going to come back and press rewind on what Nikki Notations has said. No, sir.
Because, and truthfully, I don't care if they did. Because they're like, I heard you say this. Did Did I must have really been dead if I said it.
Yeah. Well, I apologize. If we gonna go over
I didn't know you did. I was a regular person then. Now I'm rich. And, you know, I want no problem.
Okay.
But nah. Okay. Back to Tyler Perry and him stealing. What would Jesus
do? Getting his trademark. What would Jesus do? I mean, come on. So this lady, Kim Popperud Kearney, okay, she filed for the trademark for a Christian reality show back in January 2008. In May of that same year, Tyler Perry Studios filed for an entertainment service trademark for What Would Jesus Do? And they did it in an attempt to secure the rights to use the phrase for entertainment production, which included film, musicals, and television series. Okay. But she's like, Kearney's like, wait a minute. I'm the one that brought the idea to Perry King months before his studio filed for the application. I mean, it is funny because that What Would Jesus Do has been out forever. And if
yes.
It's January, why would they turn around and file it in May of that same year? So wait a minute. Okay, but let me tell you how money talk, man. They got her trademark counsel, right? They got her trademark counsel.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What would Jesus do? Jesus wouldn't do that?
That's a kingdom moment for Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah.
If I ain't never seen it. Hold on. So, but wait a minute. Hey, you got to be about your business. That's any artist. This is why her trademark got canceled. One, you got to be careful who you share your ideas with. That's one.
Right.
Two,
right.
Okay, so she was going to do this Christian reality show. She got the trademark, but they came in to cancel it, and their proof that they needed to cancel it was because she had not produced the television show in connection with the trademark, and her website for the show was not functioning. It didn't have a functioning email. So this is it. If you set up anything in a particular name, you better utilize it. I don't care who you're sending it to, how you're sending it. You better be utilizing it for the function of which you set it up, because somebody may come and try to take your stuff, especially you just never know what they want to use it for, okay? So anyways, they got it canceled based on the non-use argument of the trademark. So
that
now,
is crazy.
Mhm. Mhm.
I mean, that's retarded. How you gonna, because I'm not using it, you can cancel it? Maybe I don't feel like using it this month or this year. Maybe I was planning for next year because I knew some snakes was lurking in the grass.
But hold on, the trademark.
That is crazy.
The trademark was authorized in the U.S. during the 90s.
Yeah, everybody had T-shirts, socks, keychains, everything said, what would Jesus do? That's what I'm trying to figure out, how any one of them got the rights to it.
Well, this is what, okay, just because you have it doesn't mean that they put a trademark on it. It's not official until you make it official. You put in the application, you pay the money, it gets approved, you get your plaque, your certificate, whatever they give you to say, hey, this is now legitimately recognized by the U.S. government. That's one. Two, even if you do get it legitimized by the government, you better make sure that you're continuing to function under that name, or someone will come in and cancel and say, I can make money better. Because it's all about the money, really.
I see.
Three,
I see.
You better make sure that you're keeping up on the application of it. Whatever that duration that they are approving for, don't let it lapse. Meaning, don't get it. Don't. You have to make sure that you're paying it on time to renew that trademark, that copyright, that patent. You have to make sure of that. So it's all of. It's not just about being creative. You have to have a business mind. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know the right people to support you, to look out
right.
for these things so you can stay creative.
And because you don't have to do it so you don't end up Suge Knighting nobody. Cause that's, I'm just saying, like, it probably would have been an outburst in the courtroom. Like, somebody would have got it. That day, like, wait a minute, you gonna tell me my idea is null and void? It, like, that is craziness. That is definitely a lesson. And listening to that, I'm just over here marinating on the words, thinking about what I need to do for my own business. You know what I'm saying? Because that is dirty, honey. That is dirty. How you gonna steal that woman idea, Mr. Perry? Now, it must have been a really good idea. It had to have been for them to take her to court and do all this craziness. That's crazy.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry.
It's a popular saying. Obviously, it's been around since the 1990s, but people don't think about the back office, the business aspect of it. So it was up for the grabbing. And if you're not doing anything with it as a business person, I mean, why would you utilize it? Because a lot of his movies are based somewhat off of religious type of things and doings. Then why would you capitalize off of something that's already popular? So,
well,
I mean,
I'm going to tell you what Jesus wouldn't have did, okay?
Yes!
Jesus wouldn't have stole that lady idea and then tried to use it for his own idea. That's what Jesus wouldn't
Amen,
be, okay?
Sister. Amen,
you know,
sister.
Just listening to that, that's why I ain't gonna even lie. That's why I be playing crazy when people be talking to me. When they be asking me questions about what I'm doing, like, my thing is I laugh and talk. Like, it's certain people I confide in, and those people know who they are, and it's other people don't ask me nothing about my life because I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna look you straight in your eye and lie or make some up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't ever think you privileged to any information about what I got going on in my life. You know what I'm saying? Because, truthfully, you can't trust a lot of these people. You can't trust not only the people like that, like how she went to Tyler Perry and he got more, apparently got more money than she did. You can't trust them. You can't even trust your fellow artists sometimes, because they'll be trying to get info out of you just to see what you're doing and take it and run with it, or who knows. Like, I trust very few.
So you come from the glasses half empty. I'm trying to get in, and I think this is a family trait.
it probably is.
I want to be the glasses half full and be optimistic. And when I say optimistic, I don't mean being stupid. I agree with you. You cannot share everything with everyone. But at the same time, you have to be able to know what it is you're doing and who it is you need to pitch your ideas to further your cause. So you can't always clam up with everybody, you know, and you can't always share with even the people you think are your loved ones, because it's your loved ones that'll kill your idea, kill your dream before you get started. I'm just saying.
I got a story to tell you off air, okay? I got something to tell you off air. You just struck a nerve. I'm going to have to call you in the a.m.
Okay.
And run this story.
Yes.
Look, I got a story to tell you. Oh, my God, I got a story. Okay, I'm sorry. I just had a moment there. And when you said that, you know how somebody say, like, a key word, and it just, it's like your hand go up in there, like you got a question.
Wave it off for now.
If I can't say a word, I'm going to wave my hand. Yes, Lord. I got something to tell you.
Yes, ma'am, I'm waiting. I hope I can handle it, because, you know, sometimes the stories you run in deep.
Ooh. Man, look, I'm telling you, it's one of them things where it's like, ooh, let me bite and speak no evil. Move along, cousin.
Okay.
What would Jesus do?
Yes, what would Jesus do? But I agree with you. When you share something and then a big conglomerate like a Tyler Perry comes to taste it, obviously we haven't heard his side. This is just a peripheral type of story where we don't know the ins and outs on either party.
Well,
let's
say she filed
for
the stuff first. I mean, but granted, maybe she stole his idea. Who knows? I mean, we really don't know. But, I mean, if it is, if it's the other way around, then that's kind of like, ooh, a little dirty. But, you know, that's why I think a lot of places, though, don't let you send unsolicited material just for instances like this. So, you know.
Yes. Exactly.
Maybe Tyler Perry need to get on board with that. Mm.
Well, but then remember, when you're speaking with someone, they have more than an unofficial type relationship if she was speaking with the team. So it had to be some type of conversations that were going on. But when you finish the conversation, that's why it's vital when you're having an official meeting, you take notes. Those who control the notes, those who take notes control the meeting.
The
who said what, when exactly? Because
I learned that from you, cousin.
Okay, well, yeah, I just want to share with people. I learned that from a lawyer who was teaching the communication. It was group communication. And it was just, you know, it always stuck with me. And, you know, it's just one of those pearls of wisdom, like, yeah, that makes total sense.
But it's the truth, though, because if we sitting here and I'm, because what they used to call it, who's keeping the minutes, like when people having meetings and the person they're typing and getting stuff in order, I mean, like, it makes perfect sense. Like, if I got everything we talked about right here, you know what I'm saying? Like, we talked about this. This is what it is. This is what you said. You know, so
and
it makes perfect
sense.
And
do not count on
sense.
Somebody else to take the notes for you, because you don't know if their interests are on your behalf or on their behalf. Business is business. nothing is personal, but you don't know that person's background. So anyway,
right.
There's other things, and I think this is a good segue into finishing up the night on six things every indie artist needs to know for 2014. And I found this from the Music Think Tank blog, and this is, I thought it was very interesting because we've been trying to really look for contests and things that are available for any artist to become involved in. You know, we really want to not just talk about topics that are interesting, but also give any artist things to think about on how to continue to build their brand and raise their profile. So one of the first points that they say is stop trying to do everything yourself. So
Okay. They're
saying think of your career like your social life. Sometimes you need to be around different people, different crowds. So they're saying the most successful artists aren't the ones who can do it all themselves, but the ones who value having collaborations, joint ventures, teaming up with other people. So start putting yourself around not just the yes man. What are you saying, God, man, and gun? I don't go, oh.
God, money, money. Yes, honey. Okay. That's all I need up in this mother brother. Okay, that's all I need. Point me in a direction in it.
And you say specifically you don't need no goddamn yes man. You don't.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't need it. And I think in 2014, it's good to have an entourage. They should be there to support you when you're going to travel, you're going to your shows. But when it comes to business, you need to have someone on your team that's going to say, hey, consider this. Have you thought about
right. This?
Not someone that's going to shoot down your ideas, not someone that's going to say yes, yes, yes to everything, but someone who gives you the ability to step outside and think about, does this fit within my vision? Does this support my goals? Is this really my objective for the future, or am I just doing this for right now? So that's something to consider. That's the first point. Stop trying to do everything yourself. The second place shows, and I love, Cuzzo, that you talk about when you tell your story on how you started with your poetry and your songwriting and singing, and you said, hey, let me just get out here and see how it's received. Yes,
yep.
You get invited to things, but you like to go places where you don't know anyone because that's going to be the raw and uncut response to your song.
Oh, yes.
So you want to speak on that a little bit?
Yes, most definitely. Like, a lot of times people want to go, keep going to what's familiar. Me, on the other hand, not so much. I mean, it's cool. Once I feel like a stage is almost kind of like, what's that movie, Game of Thrones? You know, like once you tackle this throne, you can come back, you know, if you want to come back and perform. But don't, if you stay there, you're not going to move. You got to go to other places. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when you perform in front of people that you don't know, they don't have no reason, a lot of you, they don't have no reason to egg you on. Or, you know what I'm saying? They going to keep it 100 with you. Like, if you killing it, and especially in St. Louis, if you killing it, 9 times out of 10, you will know. If you suck, 9 times out of 10, you will know. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I love about performing. Like, it tells you if what you doing is working. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, if you keep having show up after show and ain't nobody feeling you, probably need to reconsider. Now, I done seen some people like that where it's like, whoa, brother, this probably ain't, or sister, this probably ain't what you should be doing. But, it, you know, you want to see, do you have what it takes to get
and
there?
And I'm glad that you made that point because, yes, you do want to see if you have what it takes. And sometimes people need to reassess their approach, their song, and how they jive with the crowd. And that brings me to the third point. Make a plan. but don't get married to it. And they're basically saying a few artists can just make music and play shows continuously and see, their progress. But just because you're talented doesn't mean that people are just going to come see you. You can't have that mentality. So set a goal about your shows that you would like to play, projects you would like to finish, people you would like to collaborate with or have beef with, all the things that you're going to push that are going to push you to the next phase of your development. So get organized, figure out your next steps, and stay flexible about your plan. So don't just say, I'm going to sing this song. I don't care what this crowd is saying. I don't care how they're responding. Who cares about them?
You better not do that.
We talked about this before, about having a pre-show plan, and then you have the day, I call it, which is the day of the event, and then you have a post-event assessment. And that's not just you being on stage and feeling the crowd while you're on there, but that's when your entourage comes into play. How does your entourage feel the crowd was going? What did they see? What did they hear? What was their feedback about the crowd? And you bring all that to say, okay, so the next show I come, this is the angle that I'm going for, or these are the people that when I go to the show that I need to talk to and network with. I need to make sure that I speak to X, Y, and Z. So
you definitely need to have a game plan. I mean, you definitely do. You need to know how to gauge the audience to see if people are feeling you, if people are not feeling you. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, it's a different world when you get on the stage. You know what I'm saying? It really is. It's one thing when you're sitting in the audience and looking at people, but it's another thing when you, the person, being looked at. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, luckily for me, I haven't had too many, like, bad shows, so to speak. Like, I think I had maybe two flops. This year was kind of like, ooh, that probably wasn't my song. But for the most part, you know, I've just been lucky, you know what I'm saying? Or people just been feeling what I've been bringing. And, you know, it's just you have to gauge the audience. Not only that, if you perform, and the best thing that I would recommend that you do is to get a video camera and record every performance. Like, you have to record your performances. Like, because one thing that people cannot deny, they might try to deny anything else, but they cannot deny the reaction that the audience has when you perform. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because people, if they feeling you, like I said, most times, at least in St. Louis, I can't speak for the rest of the world because I ain't really been nowhere else. But
you're on your way everywhere else. And ma'am.
I'm on that path, hopefully.
Yes.
But, you know, but just you definitely want to know. And not only that, you can watch your performance and you can see what you like about your performance, what you don't like, what you should do different. You know, and, like, just you can kind of grow from watching your performances. So I would recommend that every time you perform, like, you don't have to post every performance, you know, because, like I said, every performance ain't going to be A+. But you could at least watch it, learn from it, and grow and become a better performer. Because when I first started off.
I was going to say when I first started,
I wasn't that good of, like, I learned as I went, because my whole thing was, I don't want to tap dance for nobody. You know, I'm just here to sing.
Well, and I appreciate that, and what you're saying is so relevant, because when you're putting it in the terms of sports, and when I think about football, Monday morning quarterbacking, yeah, we say that for the fans who were, you know, who may be talking about, oh, if I was a quarterback, if I was a running back, I would have done X, Y, and Z. But the actual players, when you listen to them talk, whether it's in their interview, you know, the post-interview after the game or after or before a game, they talk about looking at the actual video of the game that they have played. That is how they sharpen their skills.
Yeah.
They look at it. So you have to take on that same mentality, too. You have to have a game plan, the game book with all the plays, and then you have to see, okay, so when I implement these game plans and when we're actually on D-Day, the day of the event, how am I executing and what can I do the next time? So,
And like you said,
go ahead.
No, like you said about the, you said something about the networking, like just to add to the whole, you know, game concept. Also know who the strong players are. You got to know who the other people are that's bringing the heat, that are the who's, because those are the people you want to work with. Those are the people you want to network with. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're wasting time, like, scan the room, see, know who's going to be in the building. You know, or get familiar with other artists in your area that are doing the damn thing, you know.
So that means don't show up just to perform. You must try to come early and stay later, assess out the scene, see who the key players are before you come, know what they are doing. So when you talk to them, because you have to have an elevator speech, 15 seconds. Is all you want to get with someone, and how are you going to leave an impression? They may not be there for your performance, but how do you make sure that you get a meeting with this principal person for Monday if you're playing on Saturday? You need to leave an impression on not just your fan base, but the key principal people in the business who will move your brand and your product forward. Whether they're a representative, whether they are a artist developer, whether they are someone who is a public relations specialist, someone who's a producer, or just a fellow artist, you have to know how
to know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right, because we're going to have to pick this topic back up at the top of the hour next Saturday. So if you are tuning in, we will continue this next Saturday. Tell a friend about us, because we're about to go off the air live. So you guys have an excellent night. Again, my name is Ray Cole, Indie of Saturday, The Hour Network. Have a good night.
Welcome. You just tuned into the Hour Show.
-10.
And it is the biggie.
It is the biggie.
It's your boy Journey Gray.
Nine,
I want you to
settle in
and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, man, cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again, John Blazing, ghostwriting, striking lightning, call me Thor, control the flow, I'm Poseidon, when I'm writing to the score of my life, through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype, found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again, one more song, open mics, I was killing them, now you feel the power, the present is the gift and the time is the hour, seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming, I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming, vocal cords when I'm humming, lightning bullets in the hundreds, in Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the armor, I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex, I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this thriller. These plates bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo.
This is Journey Brave, and you are now tuned in to the D-Hour Show.